Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this second Sunday of Easter, also known as Holy Humor Sunday. Christ is risen.
Christ
is risen indeed. Alleluia. So today is Holy Humor Sunday, and I know it sounds like something that I just made up, but I assure you it is a real thing, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it during the sermon, but basically it's a time for us to not take ourselves quite so seriously while celebrating the grace and mercy of God through the gifts of laughter and joy. Not all churches celebrate Holy Humor Sunday, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity. Just a few announcements. One, there is a deacon's meeting right after worship in the library. So the sooner we all gather together for that, the sooner we can head out home and, you know, get our naps in. Also, I met with with folks that wanted to continue doing a Sunday morning adult Sunday school, and we talked about different curricula and things like that, and we decided that we're going to start with From Daughters to Disciples about women in the New Testament. We're gonna start on May 7th because I am still tired from Easter, so I'm going on vacation next week, and then we just figured it'd be better to start May 1st. We'll go through May and we'll see sort of where people are and how vacations are. Maybe we'll take the summer off and we'll come back. But May 7th, we will start up Sunday school again, and we'll be talking about women from the New Testament. Any other announcements I did not have? Yes.
Just because you're on vacation doesn't mean the rest of us will not be meeting.
That's true.
We will be here next Sunday, and our guest pastor will be Jim Gilchrist.
Yes, so be sure to...
There's a cartoon back here about how to ask.
Yes. Yeah. We do have a guest minister next week, Jim Gilchrist. And be sure to check out the bulletin board. Those are just a collection of memes and cartoons that I've acquired over the years. And you are actually welcome to put up your own if you would like. That'll be up through Pentecost. Is that anything else that I'm missing? Okay. Just so you know, there's going to be a few knock-knock jokes throughout this service. And I think you're all familiar with how they go, but let's practice. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Gladys.
Gladys who?
Glad it's Sunday, aren't you? I'll be here all morning. All right, so family, let us now gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Oh, praise to the God of laughter, whose humor sends ripples through even the river of death, who turns a mustard seed into a tree, who conceals the meaning of life in a loaf of bread. Like a trickster, you turn our world topsy-turvy. When I think I am lovely, you hold up a mirror that shows me as thick as a pencil or squat as a toad. Here in the funhouse, the popular routes lead me in circles, but the dead ends have doors. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing the praise of one who is all, who is invisible as the wind, yet as firm as a rock. Let us now rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." None of us likes to look foolish, but what's sillier? Chasing after the world and all its gaudy trinkets which flatter our souls, or being a fool for Christ, imitating him in service to others, offering ourselves in love and joy to the world? Let us admit to God the foolish choices that we make each and every day as we pray, saying, "You know better than we do, amused God, what important people we believe we are, believing we have to be serious all the time. We miss out on the joy of your creation. Choosing to feast on the pain of the world, we skip the picnic offered in paradise. Clinging to the despair which is our best friend, we ignore Jesus, who can bring us home to your heart. Forgive us, heart of joy, and make us open to the startling and upside-down ways in which you work. Fill us with Easter's laughter. Fill us with your healing joy. Fill us with the love poured into us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior." The gospel tells us over and over again of the joy which comes to us through Christ. When Jesus was around, lives were changed. The sick were healed. The sorrowful began to laugh with joy. The good news is that this joy is now given to us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are gifted with joy. We are sent forth to bring good news to the oppressed, to bring healing to the broken, to anoint everyone with the oil of gladness. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Amen. friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Knock, knock.
Luke,
all around you at the smiles on your neighbors. Siblings, let us greet one another. Please be seated for our choir's anthem.
Join in. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Let us.
Let us.
Let us pray. I want to put out, if we could please pray for the Davis family. They're relatives of Janet Weckerly. They've been experiencing a multitude of hardships over the past few weeks. So if you could just keep the Davis family in your prayers, that would be very, very much appreciated. With that, let us gather together our prayers. Laughing God, amid the laughter and celebration of this day, it's good that we pause and remember that many carry burdens that need not be carried alone. God of grace and God of love, we thank you so much that we are so wondrously created that we are made for relationship with you and with one another. We thank you for laughter with friends and loved ones. We thank you for the laughter of children and the song that it creates in our hearts. By your great unending love, you inspire in us a spirit of imagination and creativity. Help us to use that spirit to play more, to laugh more, and to create beauty in every way possible. Remind us to laugh out loud, for doing so will heal some of the wounds within us. Not all, but some. God, we pray for those who cannot find their laughter today, for those who are grieving, suffering illness of body, mind, or spirit, for those who are lonely and in need of someone to share their time and friendship, for those who have not yet moved into the season and spirit of Easter, and they find themselves stuck in the gloom of Good Friday. May these and the troubles of all your people be soothed, blessed, and comforted by your holy presence. May we each find the laughter within us that sets our spirits free, and in that freedom, may we take your love into every part of our lives. These and all the prayers of our hearts we offer now in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, I Danced in the Morning. seated. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Philip.
Philip
the plate as it's passed to you. When we give of ourselves, our time, and our talent, and our treasure, we experience God's squeals of delight from within as joyous fulfillment. Let us give our tithes and offerings. Gratitude and humble trust, we bring our best today to serve your cause and share your life with all along life's way. O God, who gave yourself to us in Jesus Christ, your Son, teach us to give ourselves each day until life's work is done. Please be seated. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Rita. Read a Bible if you want to hear the good news.
It has to be better than what I say.
Today's reading is 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Please pray with me. Guiding God, send your Holy Spirit upon the preaching of your word, that it may serve to show us the path of life and lead us into your presence, where there is fullness of joy. Amen. So, like I said before, Holy Humor Sunday is a real thing. It was actually started in Bavaria in like the 15th century. And it was a way of celebrating the resurrection of Christ. They called it Rhesus Paschalis, or God's joke, because God played the supreme joke on death by raising Jesus. In the 17th century, Pope Clement X decided to outlaw it. It's Perhaps because he just wasn't a humorous guy in general, or maybe Christians were getting carried away with their holy humor pranks and things like that. To the best of my knowledge, when I was researching where this came from, the Merry Christians, the Fellowship of the Merry Christians, resurrected the practice and started encouraging churches to participate in like 1988. If anybody knows anything beyond that, let me know. There were a lot of scripture options for me to choose from today. And I ultimately decided to go with lectionary. I get that this passage isn't particularly funny or humorous, but it is a passage that gives me great joy and hope, and I hope you'll feel the same way. So what we're looking at here is an epistle. It's a letter attributed to Peter. We mostly hear about letters from Paul. And those letters, the letters from Paul, were written to specific Christian communities in specific places, mostly cities, during a specific time. Peter's letters, however, were much more general and broad. They were addressed to groups of Christians, groups of Christians that were sort of alienated from the surrounding society. So they're mostly in these rural areas, these small towns. And people took those letters and they passed them around from congregation to congregation. The other thing to know about the people that Peter was writing to is that they were converts to Christianity. They weren't born Christians. They weren't even born Jewish. They made an intentional decision to follow Christ, even though they knew that there was possible persecution. Part of professing their faith meant that, you know, they would be chastised, but they still chose to leave behind their safety and their reputations for blessing in the living hope of Christ. The original readers, they were acutely aware that to the larger world they looked foolish. People thought they were misled. Oh, those weird Christians. The people that Peter was writing to weren't living in a time or a place where they were actively sought out to be killed for their faith. But they still had to be careful about where and when they worshiped and who was around. At the very least, other people thought that they were a little weird. Thankfully, we live in a time and a place where we're able to freely practice our faith without any repercussions. And people say today, I've heard people say today, that Christianity is under attack, but no one's throwing us in jail because we go to church. We're still the primary faith in this country. And I'm just walking around Pittsburgh, I'm still amazed at the sheer number of churches. There's practically one on like every corner. That doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that think that we're a little foolish or misled. I mean, we believe in some pretty weird stuff. There's this guy who died, like a really awful death, and then he's not dead anymore? Okay. Anyway, this In this letter, Peter basically sort of sums up the whole gospel in the first few lines. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an imperishable inheritance kept in heaven for you. That's a lot of words, but Peter is underscoring the relationship between God and humanity through the Easter Declaration. Peter is basically saying that God acts towards us in mercy, and because God acts towards us in mercy, we're able to respond in joy. Even if we have to suffer some trials, and everyone has their own trials that they have to go through, God's promise, our inheritance, is still guaranteed. Inheritance is central to Peter in this passage. Like, when we talk about inheritance, it's not that different from the inheritance in biblical times. There's this anticipation of inheriting something from the previous generation. And that creates a lot of excitement. I don't know about you, but I'm still waiting for my letter from my wealthy, previously unknown second cousin twice removed lawyer saying that I'm their sole heir to a $1 billion estate. That'll probably happen, right? As fun as it is to dream about, there are still a lot of problems with inheritances, though, right? I don't think anybody here has to dig too deeply to find a story about arguments over inheritance-related matters. I tell you what, I got more than one in my family. You know, it's more than just the possible severed relationships. No property ever passed along after death. No earthly inheritances last forever. They may not even last a whole lifetime. Land becomes fallow. Homes fall into disrepair. Heirlooms break. Money gets spent. But Peter's talking about a completely different type of inheritance. One that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It lasts forever. There's enough for everyone. It won't break. It won't become worthless. No one can take it away from you. This inheritance is given by divine mercy, made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's secured for us in heaven. This inheritance, our salvation, it's best received as a gift and is known in this life through faith. That faith that motivates us to rejoice, even during hard times in our lives. True joy weaves itself into every aspect of Christian life. Peter connects an indescribable and glorious joy with the suffering various trials. There's so many times that I wish we could just eliminate all of the hurts of the world. And when I talk to you and I listen to you and I just want to take it all away from you. The pain, the grief, disappointment. But often in Scripture, we find that joy springs from suffering and sorrow. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be in grief. It doesn't mean that you have to be in sorrow. It just means that sorrow isn't the end. I mean, take for instance the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. What Peter is getting at here is that because we live in these in-between times, we don't have full access to our inheritance yet. We live, the in-between times are the time between Jesus being resurrected and the time when Jesus comes again. We live in between that, so we don't have access to that full inheritance, but we have it, but not yet. It's there. It's reserved for us. But we don't get all of it quite yet. Yes, Christ is risen, and we are saved through him. But until Jesus' return, we live in an imperfect world where suffering exists. It's Christ's resurrection that gives us strength for the present and hope for the future. When things look bleak, we dig deep into our faith. We remember Jesus' triumph over death guarantees our salvation. And we look forward to the future when we receive our inheritance in full. And it is both of those things in tandem that enable us to be joyful. Jesus had the last laugh because of his triumph over death. And because of Jesus' triumph over death, we know that we have an everlasting inheritance. And because of that inheritance, we can still experience joy even in the midst of hardships. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, You Shall Go Out with Joy. Before we go back out into the world, let me give you offer a blessing. May the God of surprises bring you smiles and joys to the everyday and the ordinary. May the God of love be seen in all we say and do. Go forth rejoicing, for the good work has just begun. Amen.